kids, let's travel the world together. She can make it easy and in any kind of weather. No TSA, no bag checks, no patting down. She's talking from the skies and sending lots of feel-good sounds. Oh, Betty in the sky, have you heard her yet? She loves traveling, there's no doubt. Betty and the Jets. She's weird and wonderful. Oh, Betty, she's a podcast queen. She's wearing high heel shoes, got her wings on too. You know I've never seen a better stew. Oh, Betty and the Jets.
Hello and welcome to Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I'm Betty. I'm a flight attendant for a major airline, and I bring you stories from the airplane, from the flight attendants and the pilots, and from traveling around the world. This episode, I have quite a few stories from my recent trip to the Cook Islands, Rarotonga and Aitutaki. The music for this episode is sort of a sound-seeing tour. I forget what listener told me that that's actually what it's supposed to be called. A sound-seeing tour. I recorded music at church. Actually, went to church because it's really a big thing there. They're very into religion, and they get all dressed up and wear hats, and they are really into the singing in church, and they have some good acoustics. They have some very exuberant singing. So I got some music from church, and then there was a concert, two different local groups singing, and some other sounds from the Cook Islands. And then I have some stories I recorded actually in country, along with some normal, for Betty in the Sky with the Suitcase, airline stories. We have two in-flight emergencies, some guard roosters, a lot of crabs, some skinny dumpster diving flight attendants, and a fat lady. Let's get on with the show.
Welcome to Rarotonga.
So as usual, I wasn't sure where I was going on my November trip, and I kept changing my mind. And when I was telling people, when I'd pretty much decided I was going to the Cook Islands, Rarotonga and Aitutaki, I would say to the pilots, and the pilots who are, you know, historically very good at geography, you know, because they have to be, and a lot of them have been, at least our pilots have been in the military, so, you know, they've been around a lot of interesting places in the world. But even the pilots, when I said, oh, I'm going to Rarotonga, they'd go, where? They almost hated to admit, but they're like, where's that? Just about all the pilots I said that to didn't know where it was, and one guy goes, you mean in Honduras? I think he was thinking I was saying Roatan, not Rarotonga. Which is very different, you know, Central America and the South Pacific. So then, you know, I'm in the process right before my trip where there's always a lot to do, a lot to do before and after a trip. And I like to let my credit cards know where I'm traveling, because if you don't, sometimes they'll think someone has stolen your credit card and then shut it off. And then you can't, you know, and you can't use the ATM. It's a real problem when you don't have any access to cash. So I always, just a couple credit cards and debit cards, I will call and tell them. And some of them have automated systems, you know, the automated voice. And I'm talking to the computer voice for one of my credit cards. And they're like, you know, give them the dates. And then they say, where will you be traveling? And I say, the Cook Islands. And they say, please state a country. I'm like, the Cook Islands. And they're like, please state a country name. I'm like, Cook Islands. It's like, no, the computer doesn't know that. You know, you're going someplace unusual when the computer can't recognize it. And also, like, if I was writing an email, that would also autocorrect Rarotonga, like basically saying, you know, that's not a word. And same with Aitutaki. Even the computers don't know about Rarotonga.
Welcome to Rarotonga, where the weather is sweet. It can be tornado.
So what happened? Let's start.
We were flying from Moscow to New York. And on the way, or up in the air, about halfway, a woman started complaining of chest pains. And so
which is scary.
So we diverted to Reykjavik, Iceland, which I had never landed there before. It was a desolate, windy
place. But that's exciting to see.
Yes, it really was. On a plane full of drunk Russian men. She was one of the only women in the back. And maybe that's why she was having chest pains. I don't know. But And so we landed, and two uniformed men in orange jumpsuits got on the plane and, you know, very quickly took her off and escorted her off the plane. So we kept these Russian men all drunk, you know,
contained,
thank you. And finally, I was out in the jetway, and the captain called for me. He said, it's time to go. We've refueled. And all of a sudden, I looked down the jetway, and there was the same woman who was supposedly at death's door doing jumping jacks, wanting to be let through this glass door.
She's doing jumping jacks?
Oh, she was jumping up and down and waving her arms.
She didn't want to get left on...
Right. Well, the Icelandic government had informed her what a night in an Icelandic hospital costs, and she decided that she felt just fine.
So she was miraculously healed.
Right. So I told the captain this, and he looked at me. He's a very nice man, and he said, you realize how many several thousand dollars it cost for us to divert here? He said, I can't let her back on and just take off as if nothing happened. So we left this poor Russian woman who, I mean, I'm sure had never even been outside of Russia before, standing in an Icelandic jetway. So that's my story.
I like to record a few things in country, and right now I just hiked up to the highest point of Atutaki. It's a beautiful island in the Cook Islands, and sounds windy. It's because it's very tropical, and it's the highest point. I'm going to walk over to the other side, so maybe you can hear me slightly better. Actually, it won't take me very long to walk to the other side. And the other side is facing this ridiculously pretty blue lagoon. I think it's one of the prettiest places I've ever seen in my entire life, Atutaki. And there's like no crime here. It's funny, I rented a bicycle. They call it a push bike here, not a motorbike. And I asked the guy, I said, well, where's the lock? Because, you know, I was going to be taking it all over the island. He's just left. He's like, there's no thieves here. And I was thinking, gosh, is there still a place in the world where there's no thieves? So refreshing. And then I took the bike the first time, and I was just biking by some people's houses, and there was this little girl walking on stilts. Do you guys even remember stilts? It's just like two big long sticks with some posts so you can walk like you're really tall. And I remember using stilts when I was at camp. It's so strange, really. We forget those simple toys, you know, in the world of iPods and iPads and everything. The simple toys just get lost. And in a place like this, in Atutaki, they still exist. And the internet's very expensive here. So even if they had an iPad, they would rarely be able to use it. It's just too expensive. So then I biked a little bit further and went past the airport. It's a really cute airport. There's no security here, by the way. Nothing. No, there's no such thing. That's refreshing too. It's kind of like flying private, and you don't even have to show your passport. They just ask you your name. That's it. Anyway, I was driving on my push bike to the airport, and there were these people sitting there, a group of them, maybe 10. And it's a Sunday, and I was like, hey, are you guys waiting for someone? I thought maybe it was a welcome committee. Again, I'm thinking, how refreshing. And they were like, no, we're protesting. And I was like, really? I wandered on a local protest? And they said, yes, they've been protesting for 7 years that they don't want flights on Sunday because they're Christian and Catholic and here. And it's one of the first islands in the Cook Islands that Christianity came to. And they think that, you know, Sunday is a day of rest and there shouldn't be flights. So they protest every Sunday. They've been out there every Sunday for 7 years. For some reason, I found that refreshing too, you know, like that something like that could be so important to you. And it's obviously very important to them. And I'm at the top of this. I don't think you could call it a mountain, but I'm at the top of the island. I'm going to try to take some Christmas card photos. Don't know if they'll turn out. Then I'm going to go snorkeling. Then I'm going to ride my bike into town for lunch. Probably do some more swimming and snorkeling in the afternoon. Gosh, what a idyllic day here in Achitaki.
So we're coming out of Georgetown, going to New York, and I feel it's going down. I feel my ears popping, so I'll start walking up front, and the captain calls, say, hey, we lost cabin pressurization. Your mask may or may not fall. So, okay, great, great. 30 seconds later, you know, the masks are falling. You through the cabin, 1, 2, 3, and you see everybody thinking, I'm supposed to do something with that. Well,
because they never think they're going to have to
nobody
do
nobody thinks they're going to do anything. But this lady comes running down the aisle and says, my child, my child, my child. Because the mask didn't drop on the seat. The mother or the child is right behind the mother. Say, mommy, mommy. So we set them down at 1B and 1C because we're in the 7-5. But we divert. Well, on the way down to San Juan, Hurricane Irene just pulled through.
Oh, my.
And we ended up having 2 seizures, actually, on the plane while that was going on.
So you had a decompression and 2 seizures.
And yeah. So that was the fun
trip. And a mommy, mommy.
And a mommy, mommy. Yeah. That was it.
I've been to a lot of places with coconuts, but I've never heard this story. You're saying that the coconut won't hit you on the head if it falls?
In history, in the Pacific, the dry coconut won't fall on the head.
And for how long has coconuts not hit people in the head?
It's in the olden days, when our grandfather there. When over here in the Pacific, it's not happened. It's not happened.
So when the coconut falls, it doesn't hit you on the head?
Why?
They
say if fall on the head, it's something wrong. You get cursed in the olden days, like you get cursed. You're doing something wrong in the family or things.
So you like?
I believe that.
If you've done a crime, it'll hit you on the head. Did you say?
Not a crime.
Not a crime.
Like you do something wrong, like your family things.
Oh.
Yeah. It's maybe you're stealing the money for the family or like in the community. That can be happening.
But you said something about the coconut has an eye. Does that mean so it knows where it's going?
That's what they're saying. The coconut has got an eye because it can be fall. They thought it's gonna hit your head, but not. It can be on your shoulder.
It might hit you on the shoulder,
yeah.
But not on the head.
Not on the head.
And what you're telling me though is that in a long time there has not been a coconut hit someone.
Never been.
You believe this too?
It sounds good enough to me to concur on that statement, and I believe it 100% because for myself, there's times where we go into the jungle, like we would like to call, even though it's not a real jungle, where you're going to find lions and all that sort of thing, but
in the forest.
We call it in the forest sort of thing, and we have this food source, which is the land crabs, so we actually go inside there to hunt them down,
right.
And it's multitude of
coconut?
Crabs, land crabs, and coconut trees as well, and it's never ever happened to us, even though it could be as windy as a hurricane sort of thing, but no, we've never come across a...
It's interesting.
Even
in a cyclone, the coconut won't hit you in the head.
A tree can crash on the house, but not hit the people.
Really? Wow. Well, I really loved that story from the local guy. That guy was actually from Fiji, so it could be a Fijian story. But he was saying that I love the idea that the coconut has an eye, and it looks and purposely doesn't hit you on the head, you know, like that they're nice coconuts. But I did a little research. I thought maybe I can find. I was like Googling coconut eye legends, South Pacific coconut eye, don't hit you in the head. I couldn't find anything, even though he was sure that no one had died from getting hit in the head with a coconut, that they would hit you in the shoulder, but not the head. And so I did some more research and I found some things that say that 150 people die a year from falling coconuts, and that you're 30 times more likely to die from a coconut than a shark, and that one coconut tree can produce like 200 coconuts, and coconut trees can grow to 60 feet high, and so that and one coconut can weigh several pounds. So, you know, that falling coconut at from 60 feet above can be dangerous, and let's hope that the coconuts have an eye and purposely don't want to hit us in the head. Let's hope. Right before I went to the Cook Islands, I actually am a big fan of coconut, not just when I'm traveling or, you know, anywhere. So I was in Amsterdam and at the grocery store, and they had a cut up fresh coconut, and I love to buy that. It's like a euro, and it's delicious, and it travels really well. But what it had, you know, the Dutch language on the package, and it's called Coco Snoot. It sounds so unappetizing. Coco Snoot. Actually, I'm just guessing that it's Coco Snoot. It could be Coco Snot, which sounds even worse. Can't wait to get some Coco Snot. I was in a van with some people from another airline that had gone through some very, very rough times financially. And they were saying at one point, their company, had put out a flyer with tips to save money because they were having such a hard time financially. And one of the tips was that the flight attendants should not be above dumpster diving. They should not be ashamed to dumpster dive. This was actually printed. And another thing was that everyone should lose weight because then they would save money on fuel. So you'd have some skinnier dumpster diving flight attendants to help save the company. So what happened? And it was turbulent?
When it got a little bumpy, she was kind of a rather large lady.
Probably really large, right?
Large enough where maybe only one cheek sat on the chair.
This was a large cheek.
The other cheek was suspending in midair. And then we had a really hard landing. And what was so funny, she ended up reaching over, and she was so wide she was holding on to the other guy's armrest on the other side.
So across the aisle.
Across the aisle.
So the other cheek made it the whole way across the aisle.
Yes.
I rented a bike, an Atutaki, and it was just nice to be able to get around because there's no public transportation or anything, and there's very few vehicles on the road. Some of the roads are paved, but a lot of them are just dirt roads. I was staying on the paved part of the road. And I also, at first, I was like hesitant to ride the bike at night. And then I realized, oh, there's nobody on the road anyway. So I think it's fine. I think it's pretty safe. Actually, there were more crabs on the road than vehicles. I was there right around the full moon. And one of the local people, they were telling me that around the full moon, these land crabs, which are big crabs, you know, like 8 inches across, they could probably get to be much bigger than that. But the ones I were seeing were like maybe a foot across. I mean, big crabs. And at first, I wasn't sure why there were so many crabs on the road. And I had ridden my bike to this, the boat shed. It was a good restaurant bar. And I told the lady, I said, she came over to take my order. And I'm like, man, there are all these crabs on the road. I mean, I said, I think I might have seen like 85 of them on the way here. And I said, at one point, I saw like a herd of like 30 crabs. And she was very interested. And she was like, really? The crabs are out? They're out already? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, hold on. And she left and made a phone call. And she came back and told me, she goes, I went and called some of my friends and said, hey, the crabs are out. Go get them. the crabs, apparently, then she was telling me, they come out around the full moon and the day before the full moon, and they carry the babies in their claws, and they're crossing the road. I was kind of like, why are the crabs crossing the road? It's like to get to the other side where the beach is. And they have their babies in their claws, and they go across the road and they go down to the beach, and they shake the babies out in the ocean, and then if they survive, they survive. And then they go back to the forest across the road. So, you know, it's like a crab migration once a month. And then the local people love this because it's so much easier to go collect crabs on the road than have to go into the forest to find them. So she's like making a phone call. Hey, get out there, get those crabs. And meanwhile, I, on the other hand, I was driving with a flashlight in my hand, giggling, thinking I was holding the flashlight and holding the handlebar at the same time and just weaving in and out of these crabs. I just love moments like that, dodging crabs on the road at night on Atutaki in the Cook Islands in the South Pacific. But anyway, then the next day, I was still thinking about the crabs and talking about the crabs. There's a lot of crab talk on my trip. And I was asking them, I'm like, so how do you guys cook the crabs? And they said they cook them in the coconut milk. Sounds good, actually. And then we got it started talking, and the lady I was talking to was like, you know, even if you don't have hardly any money on this island, Atutaki, you can eat very well. And that's such a strange foreign concept to us in the, you know, civilized world, that you don't have to pay for food. And she's like, yeah, you know, the crabs are delicious and they're huge. And, you know, they just cross the road. She goes, we go out there with like a pillowcase or a sack, put it full of these crabs. And then the coconut is free. It falls from the trees. And there's, you know, lots of fruit. There's mangoes and papayas. And it's almost ridiculously easy to fish because there's so much fish there. And that's pretty much free. You have to put a little work into it. And then the other thing I had already asked, because there's all these chickens. There were chickens at the airport. There were chickens everywhere I went. I'd go. Lots of the restaurants were sort of like people's houses with a picnic table in the back. And I'd be sitting at a picnic table and the chickens would be coming up on the seats of the picnic table. There's just chickens everywhere. And more chickens than people, definitely more crabs than people. And I asked a guy at the hotel, I'm like, whose chickens are they? And he's like, whose chickens? They're nobody's chickens. They're wild chickens. And I'm like, so they're not like somebody's? They don't have like, he's like, what, like a little bracelet around their leg? I'm like, no. He's like, no, they're anybody's chickens. No, they're anyone's chickens. And I said, so anyone can just go catch a chicken and eat it? And he's like, yeah. He goes, but most of us think it's easier just to go to the store. But you could catch a chicken, and that's free. So then, you know, with coconut, fish, crabs, chicken, fruit, it's a pretty darn good free diet. So I'd like to thank any of you who, when you were going to buy something on Amazon, went to my website, bettyinthesky.com, to purchase something. It doesn't cost you anymore. It supports the show. It makes me really happy. I love to see what people buy. And this month, somebody bought Cabin Fever, The Sizzling Secrets of a Virgin Airlines Flight Attendant. Another flight attendant book. Boy, there are a lot of those, aren't they? And someone else bought Star Wars R2-D2 Scarf. That's the Star Wars R2-D2 scarf. Didn't know there was such thing. And another book, Blood, Sweat, and Shame, Confessions of an Ultra Marathon Fat Guy. Just a note, a lot of people email me saying they don't see the Amazon ads. And what it usually is, I used to think it was a server issue, but what it usually is you have your ad blocker on. So if you have your ad blocker on, then those Amazon ads links don't come through. So turn that off, and then you can go to my website, bettyinthesky.com. It's all good. Thank you so much.
A couple from the other side from Bungalow 10 and one from Bungalow 9. And the Bungalow 9 guest was saying, you know what? Angry at you, to me, doesn't kill all the chicken, because on the other day he told me to kill few roosters. We went at night, we killed few roosters around.
Wait, a guest asked you to kill the roosters, so you went and killed the roosters? Why, because were they bothering them, the noise?
Yeah. And we kill seven. We killed seven of the roosters. I thought that was the only roosters on this area. And after that, we came down again over here. They are my friends. One is a Germany and one is a Sweden. And they came again over here in the afternoon. Okay, we wait until tomorrow. In the morning, they was came up to me. They was arguing. A chicken underneath my bungalow. And the other one said, no, you lie. You Germany, you lie. The chicken was in our window. I said, how come the thing is on our window? It's the windscreen over there. Then he keep on telling me, no, the Sweden guy. No, the thing is underneath my thing. I said, okay. The roosters is far away from the mountain, but all just the voice is loud. Because nothing you can hear in the morning.
It's quiet.
It's very quiet. If someone make one small noise in the morning, can the whole island can hear. Every the change of the waves, our roosters gonna show it to us. Because of us, that's the island time of the waves. They say to us the warning. That's a roosters.
They're telling you.
They're telling you properly the high tide. They're telling you properly the low tide at night.
Really? But you actually, if a guest asks you to kill the roosters, you go around and kill all the roosters? That seems above and beyond. Really.
The roosters actually have a lot of significance because they can actually tell you whether someone is coming.
Right, like a guard dog.
Guard they tell rooster. You 10, 15 minutes prior, so when you hear a rooster just go off like cock-a-doodle-doo sort of thing, you're like, oh my goodness, someone is must be
doing something.
No, someone is coming home to wherever you are. And 100% guaranteed, someone does turn up.
So on Atutaki, there's some restaurants, but everything basically closes, definitely closes by 9 o'clock. There is nothing open after 9 o'clock. I mean, there's nobody doing anything after 9 o'clock, but I had read and I saw a sign on the road that it was a local bar. It was called the Crusher Bar, and it said it was only open on Friday and Saturday starting at 8 to like midnight. And I was thinking, wow, it's the late night place on Atutaki. And I was having dinner on the beach sitting on picnic tables with a bunch of other people at my hotel. There are only 12 bungalows at my hotel. It's really, really nice. Anyway, and very affordable. Shocking, really, for the South Pacific, which is pretty expensive. So anyway, I'm sitting there with this couple from New Zealand, and I was telling them that I wanted to go to this local bar. And they're like, well, is it safe to go there? And I'm like, well, it seems safe to do anything here. There's no locks on anything, you know. And I said, it seems pretty safe. It's like a 5-minute walk down the road, you know. I said, but, you know, it might be weird or whatever, and it's always weird. It's always harder to walk into a bar by yourself and stuff. And I said, you know, I might be back in like 5 minutes. Well, I'd only been on Atutaki for, I don't know, half a day. And I think I'd only told my name to 4 people. There was a couple staying at our hotel that I talked to a little bit, asking them, like, you know, how far was it to walk into town? And, you know, what did they like on the island? Because they'd been there a few days and stuff. Anyway, so I timidly walk into this local bar thinking, oh, it looked like somebody's house, you know. I was like, I don't know. And I walk in and all of a sudden they go like, hey, Betty. And I was thinking, oh, thank goodness. It was the couple from earlier. And I was thinking, it's so nice to walk into a place and hear your name. Hey, Betty. It's like, oh, thank goodness. And we had a great time. That couple was like a biker couple. They didn't really look like a biker couple. But the interesting thing about the bar was that it was owned by, there was a sign, Meet the Legend. The owner of the bar, it was a musician, or is a musician, and he had had some top 10 hits in like New Zealand, and I guess he's kind of famous. He's now like 70, but he was a real character. And some of the other people told me he has 29 children. I'm like, 29 children? My goodness, it's crazy. So we got to talking, and he was being real flirty. I'm kind of thinking, you know, I don't, not interested in, 70-year-old legend in the Cook Islands with 29 kids. And I was asking him to name the children, and he really couldn't do it. He'd start with the names, and then he'd get to maybe like 10 names, and then he'd get distracted and start telling me about the different women, you know, the mothers of the children, and how he really liked this one. He was a real character. Anyway, he was kept saying to me, why don't we make it even 30? Like, me have his 30th child. And I'm like, no. You know, wasn't even being subtle. I'm like, no. And then I was still trying to get him to name all the kids, and he couldn't. And then he says to me, do you mind if I call you Rita? Like, no, you can't call me Rita. I was probably one of the women that he liked, and he could remember it. He also had a boat. He said he had a big boat, and he said he can't really see where the coral is now, so he just runs over it. I mean, he was a character with 29 children. Sorry, I'll just start. So I met the guy that has 29 kids here, and you said there's a guy that has more kids than him?
Well, I do guarantee you. Have someone here locally and that's still breathing the same air that I'm breathing, and he goes by the name of Taiti, but his FBI name is Golden Balls.
Golden Balls.
Yeah, and he's had like numerous partners, and the grand total of all his siblings.
Are all his kids?
Oh, his kids is about 40.
40 kids.
40 kids.
And 40. How old is he?
He's just like turning 45.
That's a lot of kids.
That's 45. A lot of kids, man.
So like basically you might have like 80 by the time he's 80.
Well, he's got grandchildren already. and luckily child support hasn't been established here on our little island, because I'm guarantee you
he'd be broke.
All his money would running.
And say his nickname again. Golden Balls.
Golden Balls.
So there's somebody that has more kids.
There's James Bond, Golden Eye. Well, here's Golden Balls.
Hey, last year I did a trip to Hawaii. Up in the front galley, first class passenger comes up and wanted a coffee. And I said, oh, I'll bring it to you. And he said, I'll just stand here. So I got a coffee cup, and it was kind of ice cold, so I stuck some hot water in it and swirling it around. And all of a sudden he says, what are you doing? And I replied, oh, I'm rinsing it out from the last guy. And he goes, don't you have a clean cup?
You were just being nice and warming the cup. So it was so interesting being in Rarotonga in that and in the Cook Islands. It's so far removed from Western civilization. There's only like 14,000 people in all of the Cook Islands. It's sort of like not just traveling to the South Pacific, but going back in time, just because they live there like we used to live a long time ago, just because there really isn't any TV. I didn't have TV in most of the time I was there, but it didn't matter because the last two nights I stayed at a place that had a television. And I had heard from other people, they have like two stations. One of them, the audio doesn't go with the picture, so it's really hard to watch because you see them talking, but then you hear them talking like 5 minutes later. And then there's another station with nothing but church stuff. So, you know, that's certainly not going to interest, you know, kids. So then you have kids, and the internet is extremely expensive. And you're paying by the use, not just, you know, unlimited. And it was very expensive for a tourist. So for a local person, it's just totally cost prohibitive. So you don't have TV. You don't have the internet. And then people, you know, interact with one another. They play games. I mean, they dress up, they wear hats and go to church and they sing in church. And they bury. This was something that was strange to get used to, but there's graves in the front yard. So they bury their loved ones in the front yard because the houses stay in the family. You don't sell your house. So you can bury your loved ones in the front yard because, you know, it's still going to be your family there generations to come. And, you know, if you don't sell your house, so strange. Can you imagine here just burying, you know, grandma in the front yard and then you sell your house and you're like, you know, you got to dig them back up to take them with you? Or do you tell the new people that are moving in, hey, do you mind putting, you know, flowers on grandma's grave, you know, May 18th? I mean, anyway, the thing that was so refreshing is that it really was like seeing life how it used to be. I was telling people it was kind of like going, I don't know what Hawaii was like 100 years ago, but I have a feeling the Cook Islands now is, because it's so not built up or anything. There was a sign one place, miles to McDonald's. It was like, or kilometers, I don't know, it was like 5,000 kilometers to the nearest McDonald's. Which, you know, in a way, it's just really nice. Such a good time in the Cook Islands. I was there for almost 2 weeks, which is long for me. And I had a lot of time to think, you know, staring out at a beautiful view and not having television and very little internet and things being closed at 9 o'clock at night. But I also was just so impressed with the way they lived there. And in a way, it's how I thought we would all be living at this point in time in 2015, you know, living in harmony, without crime, working together as a community. And I thought that's how, you know, life would be, but it's not. And I guess sometimes you have to fly all the way to a remote island in the South Pacific to see that, you know, we really can live together and be happy. And, you know, they seem to have a good government without, like, too much government. I mean, it really is sort of a special place, really like going back to a simpler time. Well, that's about it for this episode of Betty in the Sky with a Suitcase. I hope you'll join me again next time so we can travel around the world together. Thanks. Bye.